This is KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Recently, a map put together by the Association of Statisticians of American Religious Bodies showed which religious traditions have the second highest number of members in each state. In Arizona, behind Christianity comes Hindu. In a few minutes, we're going to take you inside a Phoenix Hindu temple. First, though, I talked with Caleb Simmons, who's an assistant professor of religion at the U of A, about religious affiliations in Arizona. I asked him whether there's anything about the state that would make it more diverse from the standpoint of faith.
Someone who actually is living in Arizona and sees a report that says that, you know, the second largest religious tradition is Hinduism, and then someone saying, myself personally saying, that it maybe reflects that Arizona is not that religiously diverse, that might not necessarily ring true to their experience. Because, of course, whenever you talk about Christianity as being one tradition, that encompasses everything from, you know, Roman Catholicism, Eastern Orthodox, different denominations of Protestant Christianity. And within that tradition, of course, the beliefs, practices, liturgy are wide-ranging, and some of them seem, I mean, quite different from one to the next. So maybe a reflection of religious diversity is just different, and it exists as a diverse set of practices within the Christian tradition.
Is there something about Arizona that might make those who practice Hinduism more likely to have moved here? Is there more of a tradition here than we would have known about?
Well, I think that this is something that the map that was first published as part of the U.S. religious census and then later by Washington Post and then followed up with NPR is somewhat misleading, because if you look at the overall number of Hindu Americans in Arizona, the number is still very low. I've heard as high as about 2%, but most people actually say it's less than 1% of the total population. And so you're still talking about a very small segment of the overall demographics of Arizona. However, I think that number is going to continue to grow higher and higher because of the development in tech industry in Phoenix and the greater Phoenix metropolitan area. And this is drawing some of the software engineers, technology engineers from India, because they're producing quite a few and they're really good at their jobs. So they're being attracted to American and international companies. And I think as the industry grows in Arizona, the amount of Indian Americans that come over is also going to increase. And that's going to lead them to importing in their religious traditions. And so you're just going to see a growth, especially in the metropolitan areas, of the Hindu traditions. And then that'll continue as you get into second, third, fourth generation Hindu Americans.
So is there some expectation of, as Hinduism and those who practice Hinduism grows in Arizona, is there a feeling that that might in some way influence the culture of the community?
Right. I think it will. I think this is also a trend in larger American popular culture. You can see it reflected. So now if you watch television shows, movies, you see a greater number of South Asian Americans being represented. And so I think overall it's starting to not only be represented within the culture, but it's starting to shape it more broadly. So you have, you know, different terms being incorporated in. I mean, terms like dharma and karma are now they're part of the American vocabulary, and they have been for a while. And I think you'll see the same thing emerging more and more as time goes on. And I think it also adapts the Hindu tradition. And so as Hindu Americans who are born here, are raised in the States, they also incorporate those American values back into the tradition. And so it's constantly this conversation that's going on back and forth between the Hindu tradition and American culture, and of course then the Hindus and Hindu Americans.
As our society, many would say, evolves and becomes more open or more tolerant, or however we want to phrase that, has that affected Hinduism as it has affected other religions as well?
The Hindu traditions are, like any other religious tradition, you know, so multi-layered and variegated, to where there's so many different things that are being imported in. I think that most of the conflicts that would occur within the tradition kind of get smoothed over because it's now a minority tradition. And so you have people from all over India bringing their different regional languages, regional practices. And so you kind of get this practice that's more inclusive. And so it becomes more, a little less rigid maybe. But at the same time, it's the Hindu traditions in America are often reflecting American values that don't necessarily correspond to all forms of Hinduism in India, such as being very text-centered. And so whenever I'm doing research in India and go to a temple, it's most of the people that I speak with haven't read a lot of the texts that I talk about, but their religious education comes from different sources. But I think in America, the Hindu tradition often is reflecting a sort of idea of Sunday school and having that formal religious education centered around a text. In most cases, it's going to be like the Bhagavad Gita. And so it's just sort of a change in the way people come to know their own tradition.
Caleb Simmons, an assistant professor of religion at the U of A. After speaking with Professor Simmons, I visited some members of the Hindu community at the Ekdaman Deer Temple here in Phoenix to learn a little bit more about the religion and how it's practiced. When I got there, I was greeted by Uma Raman, a 20-year-old woman who's been volunteering at the temple and in the community for some time. I took off my shoes and she showed me through the front door. I immediately noticed the strong smell of incense and the sound of prayers being chanted. The temple is gorgeous and opulent. The floors appear to be made of smooth, light-colored stone. Beyond the entranceway is a large open room with chairs in the back and a raised section starting in the middle. That's where there were two priests leading rituals or puja. Sitting on rugs around them were a few dozen devotees who were getting ready to make a pilgrimage to a Hindu holy site in Tibet, Mount Kailash. Nearby was a plate of ritual offerings, including bananas and rose petals. And just beyond where the rituals were taking place were a number of shrines that featured different deities, which are the statues of the Hindu incarnation of God in different forms. Uma and five other community members met with me in a room just behind this area and talked with me about what Hinduism is to them and how it's practiced. They explain that Hinduism is an ever-evolving, individualistic belief system that is more a way of life than anything else.
The ultimate core belief of Hinduism is that there is one ultimate, supreme, formless God represented in the syllable Om, which we often say you might hear in meditation and things like that. And this God is pervades throughout the entire universe and is in every living being on all matter. And to represent this formless, abstract God, we worship these several different forms of this God and as different deities that you see in the temple.
Hinduism is not really any religion. It is the name that is there for Hinduism is Dharma. Okay, Dharma means duty. And the duty of any human being, that's what the principles of Hinduism give.
So if you look at it, it is ever-evolving.
As time goes by, you come into new relationships and everything, and this religion will just adjust to it, you know, to so that basically the idea being that you're doing good deeds towards your fellow mankind and any living being, or, for example, Earth or the universe. Every person, if he follows the principles of Hinduism, is a Hindu. If you don't have to convert to Hinduism. It's a way of life. So if you follow the principles of being honest, being whatever the different forms can be, you know, if you follow that, you are a Hindu.
You don't need to go to the temple. A lot of people do have a small temple in their own home where they can pray and take care of the daily things. You don't have to run to this place if you live 30 miles from here every day to pray. Many people have deities installed at their home so they can do the same rituals at their home without any in the comfort of their home.
God could be in you, in me, in our parents, teachers, and in the different forms.
That was Nade Badri Raju, Vikram Shah, Amrish Bhagava, Kailash Raman, Mahesh Shah, and Uma Raman, who worship at the Ekdaman Deer Temple and are part of the Indo-American Cultural and Religious Foundation. One of the things they explained to us is that Hinduism is not a hierarchical religion. Still, there are priests who are responsible for performing certain rituals. This is priest Hari Joshi.
Every activity we, with religion, like are we giving first time food our children, we have to do worship and pray. Are we first time cutting hair, we have to do worship and pray. And like this, our every activity with religious, that's a priest is our very responsible duty.
And as I mentioned before, one of the things he and one other priest were doing that day was leading rituals and prayers for a number of devotees who were making a pilgrimage to Mount Kailash, a holy site in Tibet. The group's leader is Ashok Tripathi. He says that the group will hike 32 kilometers around the holy site, which is no small feat given its location and elevation.
So from Kathmandu, we can drive all the way up to 900 kilometers. So we drive to a place called Kodari, which is where we switch the border between Timpal and Tibet. We go to a place called Nyalam, and Nyalam starts at 12,000 feet. So we all did a hike on Mount Humphreys, and everybody was like huffing and puffing, and we did great at getting to the top. And I said, this is a great achievement to know how we get from the valley up to Mount Humphreys. It's difficult. Nyalam starts at 12,000, and then you go up.
One unique thing about the group Ashok is leading and the Ekta Mandir Temple is that it includes people from all different parts of India and incorporates different customs that often vary regionally. In fact, the two priests I met, Hari Joshi and Sudarshana Bhatt, were from different regions and chanted for us a mantra in the way that each of them is accustomed to.
Hari Om Gananantva Ganapati Gongava Mahi Priyanantva Priyapati Gongava Mahi Nidhinantva Nidhipati Gongava Mahi Vasumama Aham Jani Garbhadamma.
This is the same thing he will chant now.
Gananantva Ganapati Gongava Mahi Kavinka Venam Vamashramastavam Deshtarajam Brahmanam Brahmanaspata
Ekta Mandir is one of around a dozen Hindu temples in the Phoenix area that collectively serve the growing number of Hindus in the valley. To see a slideshow of pictures from my visit to the Ekta Mandir temple, along with senior producer Sarah Ventry, visit kjzz.org. We'll wrap up today's show. I'm joined by senior producer Sarah Ventry. We hope you enjoyed the trek that Sarah and I made to the Phoenix Hindu Temple earlier this week. Sarah, what are some of the things that were not in that story that you still would want to relate to listeners of what we saw and what we heard?
It really struck me as such an inclusive religion and such an inclusive space. And I really loved the idea that you did not have to convert into the religion. You didn't have to self-identify as a Hindu to be a part of it. And I felt like once we got there, it was a really, really welcoming experience. I felt like even as an outsider, it was clear that people were happy to share a lot about their religion and about their personal lives with us.
I think the welcoming experience is what struck me as well. And in the course of it, I think obviously what drew us to this was this concept that Hindus make up the second highest number of devotees in Arizona. It seems like it's growing. It seems like the influence in Arizona is growing, but also the fact that it was such a part of the community in an area that both of us sort of presumed, this is sort of interesting, around 28th Avenue in Maryland.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like even when you're driving up to the building, it looks really different than a lot of the buildings around. So, it's all white and it's really tall, it's big, it's got kind of a big parking lot around it that is also has these really kind of beautiful gates that kind of open and close as the temple opens and closes. Mm-hmm. And then across the street, there was a separate cultural center and reception hall for other bigger cultural events that happened. So it looks really different on the outside. And then, of course, as you described on the inside, it's very, very opulent. And even the architecture stands out from the area around it.
And as we mentioned, there's a slideshow at kjzz.org. Another part of this welcoming experience is how open people were to having you take photographs.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really kind of surprised. I think sometimes when you go into a holy site, you know, it's really a delicate situation. And it's important to sort of be aware of the fact that not everyone wants to be photographed and that for many people, prayer is a very personal experience that they don't want to share with the rest of the world. But when we got there and I asked, you know, is it okay if I take photographs? Can I take pictures of the deities? Everybody was so welcoming and totally okay with it. And in fact, one of the members of the congregation walked around with me and kind of explained each particular deity and shrine to me, which was really wonderful.
And it seemed like people stayed a little bit later to help us out and help us learn more. And we didn't even learn all there is to learn. There's so much more.
No, obviously religion is really, really complicated and there's no way that we could possibly understand it after just talking to a few people for one day. But it definitely, I think, gave us a really unique insight into a community that we probably would not have had an opportunity to experience otherwise.
So if you've never been inside a Hindu temple before, please go to kjzz.org. If you missed the story that Sarah and I put together on it, you can find that as well later this afternoon at kjzz.org. Senior producer Sarah Ventry, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.